with me to Matthew chapter 27, please. Matthew 27. Today's teaching title is The Ultimate Losers, with a capital L, losers. While you're turning your Bible to the chapter 27 of Matthew, let's stop. I heard a good chess players calculate other people's, the other player's move 5 to 6 moves ahead. Some people have such a short sight they cannot tell the difference whether how the people are going to act. And then also they have to revise their plan all the time because they don't know what's coming ahead. They don't think through and they don't plan ahead because they cannot think that far. Many of us think about the short sight and then we quickly come to the conclusion about city planners. When you drive around, how many road constructions are happening? You go, they dig out one place, and about 2 months down the road, they start to dig out the same place again. And why didn't they plan that thing before? We cannot always blame on those road construction and the short-sighted road construction. We do that kind of thing often. We do something that we are not supposed to do, and we don't plan ahead. We end up going back and redoing things or regret things. We are going to find out two ultimate losers today. One is Judas, the other one is Pontius Pilate. They both had ample opportunity to make the things right. However, they both chose, underline, were chose to do things wrong. And they pay ultimate price. So in my opinion, these are two short-sighted people. They are the ultimate losers. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, teach us this morning that we may not have a short-sighted and that we may not be ultimate losers. We are the winners. We are the victors because Jesus Christ won the victory on the cross. So we are asking you to teach us and guide us that we may know your truth and follow your way. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1 of chapter 27 of Matthew, please. When morning came, all the chief priests and elders of the people plotted against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, and they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor, Jewish council reconvened in the morning to deliver an official verdict because what they did the night before is illegal, and they know it's not going to stand a chance, so they want to make it official. And however, the problem is the punishment they decide, the verdict they decide against Jesus Christ is capital punishment, and they could not carry. What they can do is stone him to death, which is illegal still. They are not supposed to kill anyone unless the Roman authority says okay. And the Roman authority does not stone people, they crucify people. How did Jesus die? Did he die being stoned or was he died in crucifixion? Crucifixion. To fulfill the prophecy done in the chapter 22 of Psalm and all the other Old Testament, he had to be crucified. So this is right in the course. Jewish leaders has a reason to expect the governor, Pontius Pilate, would do such a, give him such a capital punishment without any trouble because he was known as a ruthless and a cruel man and he could care less about other people's moral situation. So they thought he would give him the capital punishment without blinking an eye. Let's go down to the verse 3. Then Judas, his betrayer, seeing that he had been condemned and was remorseful, underline, was remorseful, please, brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the high chief priest and the elders, saying, I have sinned by betraying the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? You see to it. See, Judas, the problem was he was remorseful. He was not repentant. There's a tremendous difference between remorseful and repenting. Repenting means person is regretting what he's done and turning away from the bad to good and turning to God. However, remorseful is, that means that person is sorry that he got caught. I've known many prison inmates in last prison ministry. A lot of them is remorseful, sorry that they got caught. And I've known a lot of inmates who genuinely repented. They repented and they became a valuable asset to the society. And sometimes we have to admit that we are remorseful. For we got caught or we screw up or whatever we want to call it. And we fouled up. So we walk away from that thing, but we are not really repenting. This is the case in point for the Judas. He was remorseful, not really repenting. He could turn away from what he'd done and turn to God. Guess what he did? He ran to the religion. He ran to the religious leaders. And what's the rejection? What's the reaction he got from them? He said, "You have served the purpose. Hit the road, Jack. Don't come no more, no more." Some of you guys remember that. If you remember that song, you're really old like me. This is typical religion. Religion does not give us fulfillment, but it gives us a lip service. It gives us the things that it will please our emotion for a time being. It's a man-made thing, ceremony, and filled with a ritual. It's not the relationship with Jesus Christ. Remember what I just said, relationship with Jesus Christ. There's a tremendous difference, as I said, between remorse and repent. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10 says, godly sorrow produces repentance. Jot it down and take a look at it later, please. Godly sorrow produces repentance. So we have to, before we come to God, we have to be truly repentant. Otherwise, he will not accept our apology. Hypocrisy of this high priest, chief priest, and elders are so pathetic. Literally pathetic. See, they said, we'll have nothing to do with you, but they will get the money back, and then they will use their money back, money for the different things. The portion is being used in the, The portion I just lost the train of thought. Also, this is talking about the devil's method. What am I talking about? When the devil lure us and tempt us to the situation, and we allow him to take a bite on us, and we take a bite and a bait, then he will start to condemn us. Listen carefully, please. If you sin against God before, and you know you made a boo-boo, and you've done it before, I've done it before, you come to God and repent. He's faithful and just to forgive us from our sins and cleanse us from our own unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9 says. And remember this, once he said forgiven and forgotten, that means forgiven and forgotten. Don't try to remind him your sin over and over and over. It's over. Move on. Let's turn the Bible to the chapter 12 of Romans, verse 1. While you're turning, listen to me, please. If you dwell in the sin and thinking about what happened, what you did before, and you cannot pass over that sin you committed, then you are telling God he's a liar. He's forgiven you. So move on. Don't dwell on that thing. Chapter 8 of Romans. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 and 2. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. This is a very important point. We have to remember that God has forgiven us. Let's go back to chapter 27 of Matthew, verse 5. And he threw down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. But the chief priest took the silver pieces and said, "It is not lawful to put them into the treasury because they are price of blood." And they consulted together, but with them that the potter's field to bury the strangers in. Therefore, the field has been called the field of blood to this day. Then was fulfilled, underline next sentence for me, please, what was spoken by the Jeremiah the prophet, saying, "And they took the 30 pieces of silver and the value of him who was prized, whom they of the children of Israel prized, and gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord directed me." Let's look at the difference between Peter and Judas. They both betrayed, they both failed Jesus Christ in the same night. One went out, hung himself on the tree. The other one, look at the one on the tree. The one, Judas, hung himself on the tree and then killed himself in despair. The other one believed in Christ who died on the cross, we often call it as a tree, and he did mighty things. What's the difference? Listen to me, please. We might say, "I am poisoned by my own sin." It is true? Yes. We are poisoned by our own sins. However, we can be cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. So were the Israelites. According to Numbers chapter 21, verse 8, says, they were being poisoned by this serpent in the desert. Remember that story? They've been killed, many of them been killed, and a lot of them been suffering because they're poisoned. And they were dying left and right. And God told them, when they cried out to God, and God told Moses, "If you make a serpent with bronze and put it on the bronze pole, and anyone who looked at that bronze serpent pole, they will be healed." What does it require? Special thing? Do you have to have some sort of special skill to look at that thing? No. By faith, please, by faith, the person look at that thing, and simply by looking at it, that person is healed. Again, I go back to the story I just told you. Peter, look at the one who is hung on the tree and remembering what he's done. And he's been cleansed and he's been used by God. However, the other one, Judas, tried to do with his own power. He hung himself. And one went to heaven, the other one went to hell. That's the difference, ladies and gentlemen. If we try to do the things our own power, if we try to make our way to heaven with our own strength, we won't make it. We will end up in hell. But by the power of the Holy Spirit, He points us to the cross. When we accept the cross, by simply accepting Him in faith, we will be in heaven. We can do mighty things. So we have to remember that thing. People say the guilt will not disappear simply looking at the cross. Some people says. And some people says, well, years of therapy and a lot of tranquilizer drugs. I'm not saying that some people should not use the drugs to balance the chemical imbalance. When you are going through the psychological problem and you have a chemical imbalance problem, you should use. However, that's not the first solution you should run to. The first solution you should run to is to the cross, to the Holy Spirit, to the Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who made us. When we come to Him and depend on Him, He will give us peace that passes all men's understanding, that will guard our heart and will give us that joy and peace in our heart. When we have a joy and peace in our heart and forgiveness in our heart, Billy Graham said this once, half of the lunatic asylum will be emptied. Because a lot of people cannot overcome that unforgiven heart. As I said before, this is a rather pathetic situation, piety of the religious leaders. They are willing to kill a man, innocent man, yet they will follow every dot on the I, every slash across the T of the law, because they are concerned about the following the law, yet they are willing to murder a person. I actually underlined the area. What was spoken by the Jeremiah prophet? You cannot find that portion in the Jeremiah's book of Jeremiah. You find it in, actually, you find it in Zechariah chapter 11, verse 12 to 13. What happened? Is the Bible made a mistake? No, Bible is without error, without fault. What happened? In my opinion, there's three different kinds of opinion some people said. One is says some think that it could be a copy some error. They meant to write Zechariah, they wrote Jeremiah. Second one, they would say that Jeremiah spoken this prophecy and Zechariah recorded. Third one I would agree with is it is a scroll of Jeremiah. They didn't have a book format like this, and when the different books as Jeremiah or Zechariah, but they had a scroll. Scroll of Isaiah contained many different books. And scroll of Jeremiah contained, including book of Zechariah. So that's why, I believe that's what it meant. Let's go to the verse 14. Now, Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, "Are you the king of Jews?" So Jesus said to him, "It is as you say." And while he was being accused by the chief priest and the elder, he answered nothing. Then Pilate said to him, "Do you not hear how many things they testify against you?" But he answered him not one word, so that the governor marveled greatly. Pontius Pilate is a rather interesting character. He is the sixth governor from Rome to govern this area. And he, is, as I said before, he is a rather ruthless and a very cruel person. He already made three strikes against himself by provoking the Jewish people and causing almost riot against the Roman government. So Caesar, the Roman emperor, the Tiberius Caesar, told him, "You already cut the three strikes. One more, you will be out of your job." Usually when they're out of job, that means they get banished to somewhere and nobody knows. So this guy is in a rather pincushion, and he doesn't want to cause any more problem. He doesn't need this kind of problem. But however, this man, Jesus, standing in front of him and without a defense, without a whole lot of word, without a line or without plea for his life, he was not ready to save his own skin, but he's simply telling him. And the dignity and the calmness in his eyes just blow his mind away. So he asks, "Do you not know what these people bring the charge against you?" Jesus is not defending him. He was fulfilling what Isaiah said. He came to the slaughterhouse like a sheep without a word. See, the charge the Jewish leaders made against Jesus, original charge was blasphemy. You guys remember that, right? However, that blasphemy would not stick against Jesus and the Roman government. Why? Because the Roman government has a multi-sin, polytheist society. So having another God doesn't mean a thing to them. As a matter of fact, they would welcome it. So instead of charging him with a blasphemy, they changed his charge to something else. Three different things. Number one, they charged him with the insurrection, making a coup against the Roman government. Number two, he is trying to tell people that he's not, don't pay the tax to the Caesar. Number three, he's calling himself king. This would stick against Jesus because it's a political charges. And Pontius Pilate was thinking, if he handled this situation well, he would impress his emperor as well as please the Jewish people. So he was asking, are you the king of Jew? But he's not. Jesus is not answering back to him. Why Jesus would not answer back to him? Why he would not come up with some sort of a defense? Because he was depending on Father in heaven. That brings another application to ourselves. When somebody comes against you, what do? Bash their head? That's not what we're supposed to do. Let God handle it. God is far better lawyer than anyone we can afford. So let him defend you. Does it mean that we cannot use the court system at all? No, that's not what I meant. But let God handle you better. All right, let's go to the 15, verse 15. Now, at the feast, the governor was accustomed to the releasing to the multitude one prisoner whom they wished. And at that time, they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they had gathered together, Pilate said to him, "Whom do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus who is called Christ?" For he knew that they had handed him over because of envy. The name Barabbas is a rather interesting name. It's Bar-Abba. That means the son of the father. Some of the old manuscripts says his real name is Jesus. In our contemporary, we don't have a whole lot of name Jesus, and there is several Hispanic name Jesus, but then a lot of times we don't have a guy named Jesus. At that time, Yahshua is the common name. It's like a Michael or Mark or John. How many Michaels do we have here? Quite a lot, right? So there's a common name. His name is actually Jesus Barabbas, Jesus the son of father. So when the Pilate was introducing this Barabbas and Jesus, he had to distinguish one Jesus to another. So he's saying Jesus the Barabbas or Jesus the Christ. Which one do you want me to release? And this guy is a true insurrectionist. He's trying to cause a problem, and also he is a murderer. People don't like him. So what the Pilate thought was, if I bring this guy up and people don't like him, maybe they will choose Jesus and I'll be out of this tight corner. If anyone knows about being saved by the Jesus Christ, it would be Barabbas. This man took the place of Barabbas and died for him. When the Barabbas is born again, have you ever thought about that? When the Barabbas understand what the atoning sacrifice by somebody else. Let's go back to the Bible in verse 19. While he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent to him, saying, have nothing to do with this just man, for I have been suffering many things today in a dream because of him. Pontius Pilate's wife, his name is Claudia Procular. She's the daughter of the Augustus and married to the Pontius Pilate. History says that she not only convert herself to the Judaism while they were staying in Israel, but also that she became a Christian after this incident. Let's go to the verse 20. But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. And the governor answered and said to him, "Which of the two do you want me to release to you?" And they said, "Barabbas." Pilate answered to them, What then shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ? They all said to him, Let him be crucified. Then the governor said, Why? What evil has he done? But they cried out all the more, saying, Let him be crucified. What shall I do with Jesus? That is the key question that everyone should ask to themselves. What do you do with Jesus Christ? Is he Lord and Savior in your heart, or is he somebody whom you heard and you use him as a curse word? Is he God, is he Savior in your heart, or is he nothing, nobody? It would make a tremendous difference. As a matter of fact, it will make a heaven and hell difference. If you follow him, if you accept him, Jesus Christ, as Lord and Savior, and if you follow him, you will be in heaven. And if you deny him, that's your choice, that's your consequences to accept. Verse 24. When the Pilate saw that he could not prevail at all, but rather that his tumult was rising, he took the water and washed his hands before the multitude and saying, I am innocent of blood of this just person. Underline just person, please. You see to it. And all the people answered and said, His blood is on us and on our children. Pilate could not wash his hand from this situation. He knew what he was supposed to do here and he denied. Remember, the ultimate loser number one was Judas. He's supposed to run to the God and repent from his sin. Yet, he ran to the religion and he ended up hanging himself. Ultimate loser number two is Pontius Pilate. He knew what he was supposed to do. He knew this man is a just and a righteous man. Yet, he released him to the hands of mob to kill him, to crucify him. He was trying to save his politician skin that he pretty much stamped his own destiny to hell. What do you do with your situation? When the other people say, other people mock at you as that you are Christian, do you scorn out or do you stick with it? Let's make an application for that kind of things. Application number one, we cannot fool God. Jesus thought that he could fool everyone, including Jesus. It's been said somebody can fool one person for a long time. Also, that somebody can fool many people for a short time. But he cannot fool God at all time, at all. God knows our heart. Let's go to Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 and 8, please. Galatians 6, 7 and 8. Galatians is right after 2 Corinthians in the New Testament, chapter 6, 7 and 8. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Whatever you do in your private life, it will be noticed to the public. Our sin will find out, the word says. You may think that you are fooling people. You may think that you are fooling me, but you cannot fool God. Second application, ask yourself this question, what do you do with Jesus? So what do you do with Jesus? Is he a savior or is he just another person? I hope he's a savior in your heart. Third application, do what is right in the sight of God. Do what is right in the sight of God. Do not be concerned about other people's opinion. That means you are not going to be popular. That means they're going to think that you are weird. You're weird anyway. Being a Christian means weird. There's no buts about it. Also, that means you will be ridiculed. But if you follow God, God smiles at you. If you honor God, God will welcome you. When you get to heaven, He will say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Which one is more important? God's smile or other people's acceptance? Again, in my opinion, that's heaven and hell difference. You choose. Let's stand up and pray.